Station WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The second deadly plane disaster in a week. A medical flight crashing in Northeast Philadelphia Friday night. Philadelphia Mayor Cheryl Parker.
We can confirm that there were six souls on board the plane that crashed on Cottman Avenue last evening. A pediatric patient, their mother, and a four-person flight crew.
All dead, plus at least one person killed on the ground. Investigators recovering the black box from an Army Black Hawk helicopter that collided midair with a jetliner over the Potomac River, killing 67 people. 41 bodies recovered so far. Hamas today handing over Israeli-American hostage Keith Siegel, along with two other hostages, part of the ceasefire deal with Israel. President Trump's tariffs on goods and services from Canada and Mexico scheduled to take effect today. California officials say the deadly Eaton and Palisades fires are now fully contained. This is ABC News. California fire officials report the Palisades and Eaton fires are now both fully contained 24 days after they started, sowing death and destruction over the Los Angeles area. The cleanup, removing debris and hazardous waste from the entire neighborhood, well underway. ABC's Jory Rand.
Altadena is a flurry of activity. Cleanup crews, utility workers, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency. As outlined by LA Mayor Karen Bass, this is phase one in the process of getting people back to their properties. These crews are going home by home, meticulously digging through the rubble to remove potentially hazardous waste.
The fires, the second and third most destructive ones in California's history, 29 people killed and thousands of homes destroyed. The FDA is now raising a chocolate recall to the highest level. The agency says chocolate and yogurt-covered products from Cal-Yi Farm may have undeclared ingredients, including nuts and milk, could cause serious health consequences or death. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Wisconsin researchers are studying ways microbes can recycle wastewater into eco-friendly products. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
In the dairy industry, which produces billions of pounds of cheese per year, whey byproducts can be processed with microbes to create products like bioplastics. Declan Roche with Foremost Farms USA, a Wisconsin-based dairy cooperative, says the same idea could apply across industries.
A lot of waste is generated in the processing of any food item. I'm just talking dairy in this instance, but any plant that processes agricultural products generates waste.
Roche adds, overall, the profit is low, but the ultimate goal is to transform how more industries use their waste so it can be cycled back into production. Byproduct waste requires oxygen to break it down, so it can't be dumped into waterways without being pre-treated, or it could affect water quality and harm aquatic animals. Roche explains that's where microbes come in. A microbiologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Erica Majumder, says the idea is to help curb climate change.
We already have extracted so many materials from around the planet that I think it makes sense to reuse what we already have in circulation instead of just depositing things in landfills and digging stuff up.
They say innovations like these that can help to address global waste require scaling up to industrial levels where controlled environments can allow these processes to take place. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of snow today, a high near 28. It'll be breezy. Breezy tonight with snow, an inch or so of accumulation possible. Temperatures in the low 30s. Chance of snow or rain on Sunday, a high around 44. Mostly cloudy Sunday night, a low of 24.
Currently 26 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll talk about racial justice with Lisa Jones and Eric Fanning from Red Racism Milwaukee. Then we'll talk with internationally renowned actor and Milwaukee native Casey Washington.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, that's what we do. Every Saturday across the Civic Media stations, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yes, that was a little hand clap if anybody heard that right now. That's how excited I am on this Saturday, getting to hang out. Johnny and Jess, my two favorite friends, buddy people, you know, just people I love spending all my waking moments with. Jess, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great after that, Tim.
There you go, right?
I love hanging out with you too, man. You're my favorite educated educator, aside from Johnny, who is also my favorite educated educator.
Nice. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Tim, I'm doing great. It's another great week. You know, we're ending the month, first month of the new year. And, you know, I got to spend a lot of it with future teachers. So I'm spoiled all week long because, you know, they have such great questions and so many exciting things that they're gearing up to do in classrooms around this country. So I'm inspired, man. And
nice.
And this week we talked a ton about, you know, some really interesting stuff, kind of akin to your favorite topic right now. We were talking about AI in class and how it's changing our classrooms, our teaching, you know, some of its limitations, some of the things it's really helping us be better teachers utilizing it and better learners. So today's conversation, man, I am so giddy about it. I'm stoked. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into our guests today.
Let's not wait. And we've talked about it. I'm so glad you kind of brought that up because thinking right here on Busted Pencils, though, you know what? We might be educated educators who talk education and we like to kind of dig into AI. We like to tease each other about who's pro. But, you know, I tell you what, being an educated educator talking education, I know when I need more education. And I tell you, these are the guests. They are disruptors, innovators, and AI educators without ever setting foot in a traditional classroom. Myra Rolden, Leah Manoni are the powerhouse sisters behind Undesto AI, a company dedicated to helping businesses navigate the fast-evolving AI landscape with ethical, human-centered strategies. Myra, she's a leading AI integration expert and has worked on everything from shaping AI policies at the White House to building tech competency frameworks recognized by the World Economic Forum. Leah, a digital strategist and tech ethicist, explores the dark corners of AI, deepfakes, bias, and the unseen risk of automation. Together, they're educating industries and on the responsible use of AI, proving that learning doesn't just happen in schools. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Myra Rolden, Leah Manoni, Undesto. Welcome, you two.
Thank you,
Tim.
That was a great intro.
Nice. I know. That was fantastic.
Hey, you know, well, I might have had a little help writing that. Just me. You know, I mean, I, yeah, I just, Chat has been actually thinking about this. I'm so glad you guys are here. We're going to talk a lot about your company and things like that. But I mean, for me, you know, doing this show now, it's been over 10 years, and writing up an intro like that took me, you know, a long time in the past. And today now, using AI, you know, I write a quick draft. I then grab some information about you guys. You know, I took some stuff off of LinkedIn. I took some stuff on, and I'm like, you know, help me then rewrite this intro. And I think it does a pretty darn good job, to the point that I feel like I'm, I don't know, I feel like I'm ethically using AI. Myron Lee, you want to dissect whether I'm using it ethically to do that?
I don't know. I think ethically is a gray line there, right?
Okay. Are you doubt? Is am I being unethical?
No, you're not being unethical. Okay. You used it for the power of good, right? To get some descriptions about us. I think that a lot of the challenges when you think about ethics, like, we can just dive into it. So Lee and I have some very interesting conversations around AI. So as you mentioned, Lee and I are sisters. There's actually an interesting fact about us, is that we are 20 years apart. I am 20 years Leah's senior. So the gray hair gives it away. Leah is my little nepo child. We work together at, you know, Desto AI. I'm the CEO and founder, and she's my head of operations. But we're cut from the same cloth, and we have kind of the same thinking. So we go into like these real deep conversations around like ethics and like what's going on with AI in the future. And so I would say, Tim, that your use of AI was neither ethical or unethical, right? It was just what everyone else is doing, right?
Yeah. I used it to help me out there, you know, in producing, because now I can do even more time reading and thinking more about the show, instead of all of that time that would have gone into writing an introduction. I can now lean into the kind of more creative parts of putting together, you know, a live show like that. And I think that's the way that Johnny and I have talked about it with students. Before we get there though, too, let's start though right away with Undesto AI, and, you know, let you two kind of give us a little background on, you know, so what's going on with Undesto? Where did it come from? I mean, you know, White House, Myra, not the White House across the street from me, not my neighbor,
and the United Nations. Can't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, so give us some background.
Yeah. So let me see. So I'm gonna keep my short. So I've been an engineer for, I will always say, 20 plus years, because I don't want to age myself. I've had the opportunity of working on some really interesting projects. I worked at Amazon for 7 years, where I led some really interesting projects. One of them was, my last project was an AI project where I led a program where we saw a need to provide upskilling to faculty at community colleges and universities on AI. So a lot of times, and you both know this, that once you're in higher education as an educator, there aren't many opportunities for you to continue to build your background and your knowledge, especially with technology changing so quickly. This isn't something like, you know, the iPhone, where you pick it up and you, like, you know, you can learn how to like do a few things. So, yeah. But yeah, so, you know, we worked on educating educators and making sure that they were equipped to teach AI.
Well, and that is, and great. And, you know, you're actually talking, we have some listeners. In fact, one of our sponsor partners, AQ, the Association for College and University Educators, Jonathan Gurko, the founder there, really came at it from the standpoint of going, hey, guess what? Higher education faculty need to have a place where they can get better. And so I'm sure Jonathan right now listening to the show is like, that's what I was talking about, Tim.
We were just talking about this the day before yesterday, right, Myra?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Leah, continue then.
Oh, we were just basically talking about that educators need the ability, pretty much just continued education needs to be mandatory for educators.
Well, I know Johnny.
Especially with technology advancing the way that it has been.
Johnny.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, we've kind of had conversations on here back and forth over the past year or so, you know, discussing AI and, you know, landed on some common ground that it's, you know, it's here. It's part of almost mm-hmm. everyday life in most careers, if not all, not to sound mm-hmm. so like hyperbolic about it. It's really, you know, being integrated into changing the labor of all the professions that, you know, we are all in or close to or our neighbors are. But for all of our students, and I teach teachers, it's been just what Leah was just saying. It's been part of our learning together. How is AI part of our classrooms? How is it helping us teach? How is it helping our students learn? And, you know, what's that like? Because there's the initial scare where everyone's saying AI is coming and there won't be any teachers in the future. And we're like, no, no, no. We're still going to have teachers in classrooms. But I'll tell you what, they're already looking much different than they've ever looked in the past. And that's kind of an exciting thing, but it can also be a scary thing. I mean, guys like me, I'm excited about it. But some of my students are like, oh, no, what's it going to be like? So I'm just interested in picking both of your brains a bit about, you know, the way it's changing labor, especially for teachers. And my students who are like, oh, no, are they really replacing us with computers?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we take it from the standpoint that educators need to understand AI before they can you know, talk about it or teach it and educate students on like the impact it's going to have.
Leah, you had go for it, Leah.
I was going to say that, you know, most of the kids today are utilizing AI constantly. And if teachers don't understand it, best of luck.
well, best of luck. And I think it's one of these things I've been really, you know, seeing this is like, and some kids and some teachers and a lot of us maybe aren't using it wisely. And in fact, not using it going back to ethically because they haven't had the opportunity to think about this, to talk about this, to really have experts like the two of you kind of come in and have discussions with us to let us know, like, what is it that we're wrestling with here? You know, is there a legitimate fear of some form of, you know, quote, maybe it's not replacement, but is a teacher's job going to change? Is the and I think that reality is to say these are those conversations that we should be having intentionally, very much on purpose, so that we can be educated as this comes forward, because kids are going to use it regardless. Right. And we as educators, let's help them understand how to use it, when not to use it, and when it could be potentially even dangerous. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Our guest tonight, Myra Roldan, not tonight, midday, Leah Mannone, Undesto AI. When we get back, though, a little bit more educating the educators.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one. My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, and the educated educators are getting an education today. Our guests, Myra Rolden, Leah Minoni, the company Undesto AI, had a little bit of beginning there talking about education, but wanted to give you two, though, the opportunity. Undesto AI, let our listeners know, I mean, what's going on, AI, how are you, what is this company, this startup company? You had spent all this time with Amazon, we're at the White House, but, you know, Myra and Leah, if you want to jump in and tell us about, you know, Undesto and what Undesto does.
Yeah, definitely. So we are a boutique AI agency, and we help companies figure out their AI readiness and implement AI responsibly and ethically, ensuring that they're doing it also frugally. So just some quick facts. So 72% of CEOs admit that they don't have an AI strategy or policy in place for their organizations. And a lot of these companies that are implementing AI are they're prioritizing AI projects over AI governance. And so they end up having to backtrack because they don't have the guardrails in place and their infrastructure may not be ready, their data may not be ready. And so that's where we can help both, you know, if they're taking the right approach, we can help them there, or if they're backtracking and having to do, you know, some rework, we can help there also. But the interesting thing about us, and one of the things that where we stand out is that, I don't know if you know this, but did you know that Latina women only make up 1% of AI professionals? I am the 1%, right?
What? You get to be the 1% finally.
Yeah, oh, but you know what?
Yeah, so not that one. I know.
Yeah, I always say, like, you know, this is a time when being the 1% is a problem and not a privilege. Yeah. Yeah. And Black women make up less than 1%. And so being an AI company led by a Latina female and, you know, Latina female sisters, we're kind of a unique, niche market here because not only do we differentiate in that factor, I've also been in the AI space for 12 years. So I did not, ChatGPT came out and I did not become an instant expert and started selling myself as like, let me help you build the latest prompt, right? Mm-hmm. And so Leah is very process oriented. And Leah, do you want to talk a little bit about like what we've been doing with our newest AI app release?
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, well, yeah. Kind of what Myra was saying is that everyone's trying to jump on the bandwagon of AI, but they're doing it very rapidly without taking into consideration the risks, their data, the safety of their data, and things of that nature. So I developed an app for the company that it helps attest AI readiness for a business. So it asks them a series of questions and provides an assessment as to whether or not they're truly ready to integrate AI into their workforce. And if they already have it, you know, it gives them an idea as to where they might have setbacks. And it's very important. Companies don't realize how much risk they're they have when they're integrating AI without a plan and without understanding it and making sure that their employees are actually upskilled enough to use it ethically and responsibly. So that's where we come in and we help to mitigate that.
So with that then, and I know it's just a startup, but you know, has there been a place or when I'm just thinking about somebody who went too far, and are they willing to admit that, like, oh my God, Myra, Leah, we are in over our heads. Help us. Or is that your job to say you guys are in over your heads?
So it's interesting. I would say I've had so many conversations with CEOs. I think some of my favorite, and this isn't just one, this is kind of a template of what I get is, you know, I'll have a conversation with a CEO and they'll be like very proud to share, like, I've been using ChatGPT to do some forecasting and to write some documents and to like do all this stuff, you know, like around our business to like figure out how we can integrate it into our business. And so I'll pause and I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm excited that you've used ChatGPT. Are you using a personal version of ChatGPT on the web? Are you paying, you know, for the $20 or do you have an enterprise version? And a lot of them will tell me, well, I'm just using the free version. And I have to tell them, please stop. Stop what you're doing. Because what you're doing is you're putting your business data out into the ether with no control. There is no delete button once you upload those documents. And the GPT can go in and it's already learned your information and it can just, you don't know where that output's going to go somewhere else. So I just wrote a book and published it basically on this premise. So that book just published yesterday and it's called The Curious Case of Chatterbot GPT.
I saw that on LinkedIn that you just released that. And in fact, we'll make sure that we also put a link to that in the show notes so that people can have that. Yeah, because it's so exciting. Okay, so yeah. And you know what? What you just said, I didn't know that until even me. I took a course, and you know, it was a LinkedIn course and a learning course, but it was very simple. It's like, hey, if you're using the free version, you're sharing it with the world. But you know what though? If you step up, then you are, you know, more protected by even just the $20 version. I said more, not fully, right? Because Myra, I saw anybody watching this on the YouTube said Myra just told Tim, you're not that smart, dude.
Did my eyes stop? Now, actually, you know, it's just that if you read the fine print, it says that they won't use your data to train the GPT. They don't have to because you're doing it.
Yeah. Right. I'm Oh, man. Johnny, I know we're coming up already on this one, but I got to let you jump in here.
Well, I'm just taking this in because I love this conversation. You know, I'm a big fan of like learners leading learners. And when thinking about being a teacher and how fast and how much we're learning about AI to be the best learners leading learners we can. So I absolutely love this conversation. More questions to come. I mean, I'm excited about, you know, Myra's book. I already started typing it in to get my copy of it. But we have Myra and Leah here. And this is a big gift. So listeners, we appreciate you listening. But I mean, I'm just giddy with this opportunity to be a learner here and to learn.
And there it is. And before we go, though, 608-557-8577. That's the mailbag and the text line, 855-752-4842. Man, more with Myra and Leah when we get back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The second deadly plane disaster in a week. A medical flight crashing in Northeast Philadelphia Friday night. Philadelphia Mayor Cheryl Parker.
We can confirm that there were six souls on board the plane that crashed on Cottman Avenue last evening. A pediatric patient, their mother, and a four-person flight crew.
All dead, plus at least one person killed on the ground. Investigators recovering the black box from an Army Black Hawk helicopter that collided midair with a jetliner over the Potomac River, killing 67 people. 41 bodies recovered so far. Hamas today handing over Israeli-American hostage Keith Siegel, along with two other hostages, part of the ceasefire deal with Israel. President Trump's tariffs on goods and services from Canada and Mexico scheduled to take effect today. California officials say the deadly Eaton and Palisades fires are now fully contained. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks get blown out. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. Milwaukee gave up 70 points in the first half and 45 points in the third quarter as the San Antonio Spurs routed the Bucks 144-118. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 35 points and 13 rebounds for the Bucks in the loss.
Everything was easy for them. Everything. Just got to be better. 150 points is not a new excuse. Everybody got to look at themselves in the mirror and come next game and do better. That's pretty much it.
Milwaukee is back home tomorrow night to take on Memphis. The Brewers avoided arbitration, signing catcher William Contreras to a one-year deal with a club option for 2026. Contreras will make $6 million this year with a club option for $12 million next season. Milwaukee has now signed all arbitration-eligible players for the upcoming season. Spring training begins later this month. College Hoops number 9 Marquette takes on 25th-ranked UConn tonight at 7 p.m. on National Marquette Day. Number 17 Wisconsin is at Northwestern with a tip time of 1 p.m. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of snow today, a high near 28. It'll be breezy. Breezy tonight with snow, an inch or so of accumulation possible. Temperatures in the low 30s. Chance of snow or rain on Sunday, a high around 44. Mostly cloudy Sunday night, a low of 24.
Currently 26 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
On the next Mino and the Mayor, get ready for laughter at 21 After. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco will be live at the Resch Center on Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. On Monday morning, your chance to win at 7:21 and 8:21. Don't miss it.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, I don't know if Johnny and I will, but Myra and Leah will definitely rock you. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, actually getting an education today. Myra Roldan, Leah Mannone, the company Undesto AI. Hey, if you're a business out there and you're listening to Busted Pencils and you're a little too much in over your heads on the AI stuff, check it out, though. You want to call Myra and Leah because they can help you out there. You know, Johnny, what this made me think back to last Saturday's show with Jason Bucherri, you know, up there north in Canada, where, you know, he kind of jumped on the, you know, got on the fence between our argument of, you know, Tim's a big worship at the cult of AI and Johnny's the anti-AI. And Jason was like, you know what? I'm going to sit in the middle here and say the biggest thing we need to do with AI is study it. Study it. And I was wondering, putting that to Myra and Leah, is there wisdom in the study it approach? Myra, what do you think?
I would say that I just struggle with the philosophical like approach to learning, because philosophically we can all discuss a bunch of topics.
Okay.
Right. It does not, having a philosophical standpoint does not mean that you understand the technology. I think that what we need to do is understand the use cases, the applications, and how it's going to impact society. Right. So if you look at it from that standpoint, how is it going to impact jobs? What are the skills that people need to start developing? How is it going to change education? How is it going to change business? How is it going to change government? How is it going to change society in general? I think that if you're talking about studying that, yes. But also beyond studying it, right, it's like, what do we do? Yeah. Like, what do we do? Right. What do you do with it?
Leah. Yeah. You saw it. I know.
He snuck that in. Yeah, she's like trying to be sneaky over there. She snuck it in and then tried to play coy.
Yeah.
Well, it was just interesting because I was reading, you know, I've read plenty about schools banning AI from the classroom altogether because teachers are very concerned about students using it to cheat and things of that nature. But in reality, I feel that AI needs to be implemented in the classroom as much as possible because, as we were kind of saying before, students are using it anyway. You're not going to stop them. So might as well use it as a tool in the classroom. You can use it to have kids debate against the AI. Have the kids do fact-checking on the AI. There's plenty of ways you can implement it in the classroom, especially.
Johnny, I said Johnny's up nodding away, man. He's got the big smile on.
I mean, yeah, I love this. I mean, that is, I echo that. I love hearing it. And Tim, you touched on this earlier in the show. And for our listeners, I think this is the important thing is, like, when we want to learn about something, especially like AI, neither Tim or I quite experts, although Tim's been studying it. So he's on the pathway to some mastery of where it intertwines with the craft of teaching. And I'm getting there. Last semester really started working with my students on, you know, how would we use it in our classrooms as elementary teachers? How do we utilize it as high school teachers? How does it help us, you know, be better teachers? And that meant learning about AI, with which both Myra and Leah have recommended here. And so, man, I keep saying it, but I'm excited because here we have experts. Here we have some folks who have dedicated their craft to understanding, you know, how to implement AI, have studied kind of its limitations and its possibilities and potentials, and can make recommendations for all of our learning. So we're lucky. I mean, we're honored to have both Myra and Leah here, you know, and the work that they do with Indesto, because we want to learn. Like you're saying, it is part of our students' everyday lives now as students. I have no doubt that it will be part of their work as they go into the community, you know, yeah, and follow their passions in their careers. And it's like, so here we are learning about it. And just a little plug, if you haven't listened to the show with Jason Bukhari, we had, you know, our Canadian buddy up there talking with us about AI, and we tried to get him to decide whether he was pro Johnny, who, you know, historically I've been against AI, and Tim's been pro AI. And, you know, Jason reminded us, hey, let's pause for a minute and let's say AI is neither good nor bad, but let's take time to really think about like where it fits into the very best we can offer all of our students in our classroom and how it adds to that. Mm-hmm. And so here we are doing that with Leah and Myra, who do that in all kinds of ways with all different industries, you know, one of those industries being education. So we're hearing it. Learn about AI. It's part of our students' lives. It's part of our careers. And Myra, you're nodding. So I'm going to kick it to you. You know, our listeners, a lot of educators out there and people leading teachers or parents who have kids in schools, you know, so we shouldn't just be afraid of AI.
Yeah, I think that one of the interesting things is that I like that comment about AI is neither good nor bad. Right. AI has no feeling. It has no emotion. It's a computer. Mm. Right. Where it's good or bad is how people use it. Mm-hmm. And the intention that you have behind that use. There will always be malicious actors. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's always people that ride that gray line. There's, you know, the people who are on the pure white side were like, it's all good. And then you have people who are on the dark side that are like, you know, dark web kind of deal. And so I think that for educators, my biggest point is that you need to become a lot smarter than your students are as far as the AI goes, because especially as early as elementary school, right? Because kids nowadays have a tablet in hand at all times or a phone. Right. They have access to a supercomputer right in their pocket. And think about how long it took us to adapt to a smartphone. Not long, right? How quickly did our addiction grow to a smartphone and our dependency on it? And kids now have ChatGPT on a device, right? And so as educators, putting a policy out saying like, we're not allowing it, you're just encouraging. That's like telling a kid not to, like, you know, that's like,
don't eat the candy.
Don't eat the candy. And they slowly take the wrapper off in front of you as they stick the candy in their mouth. You know what I mean?
But it's also doing a disservice to them, right? Because they are, like you were saying before, Johnny, is that they are going to have AI in the future, that their jobs are going to involve AI in the future. Mm-hmm. They need to learn about it. They need to understand it. They need to understand the risks and how to use it responsibly, ethically. They need to learn these things. It's not going away. So we need to just adapt.
Yeah. And I think for educators, it's a matter of finding, there are programs that are starting to pop up. When I was at Amazon, I started a program. I now belong to the National Applied AI Consortia for Community Colleges. It's a new organization that popped up. It's funded by the National Science Foundation. And part of the remit is education for educators, educating educators on AI. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there needs to be funding applied towards allowing educators to upskill so they can then integrate these AI lessons into their course, not just integrating the tool and saying we're using it, but integrating, like, being able to teach students about the ethics and the responsibility and how to use it and what are the pitfalls and kind of like all that other stuff. And a lot of it could be bringing like industry experts in Like if you don't have, bring an industry expert in, you know, I always, a lot of educators that I've met, a lot of them, some of them believe in being the sage on the stage. And you know, that doesn't fly any longer.
No. Okay, so we're
that was unison.
Yeah, I think Johnny
on the stage. No more sage on the stage. Hey, I love Myra that you brought up sort of that the ethical component to it. And I know Leah is an ethicist of technology and especially of AI. I'm just now my curiosity has piqued a bit. And I was wondering, could you talk about some of the ethical dimensions or tensions? Just a few like of the big ones with AI and maybe education or even industry, because everybody learning is going to industry, right? Yeah. So the big ones that stand out to you about it, maybe just name them, a few of them for us.
Yeah. So we have like, okay, so humans are biased. AI is trained on human data. Our historical data is biased. So therefore the outputs that you're going to get are biased unless the algorithms are you know, kind of set up in a way where they can kind of, they're not going to eliminate bias, but they're going to reduce bias. That's the biggest one. The second one is around hallucination. So AI still hallucinates. And what that means is it may, generative AI is a text predictor. That's exactly what it is. So it's predicting the next word in a sequence. And it does it based on numerical weights. And so it's not that it's wrong. It's just that that's what it thinks, you know, historically, that's usually, you know, when you're not giving it enough context and data, it's going to make stuff up based on, to make a complete statement. So it's a text predictor. And we have a huge dependency on AI right now. People became very dependent very quickly. You ask someone to write something on their own, a lot of people aren't able to do it nowadays.
Wow.
And that's not even getting into the really nefarious stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Leah, give us a nefarious one here.
Oh, well, like I just said, it's deepfakes, voice cloning. I mean, the scams that are going around now where people are actually cloning voices of people's loved ones and having them call and having it call them to try to solicit money. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Ridiculous. The things that are starting to happen. And this is only beginning. It's only the beginning. It's only going to get better as technology improves. And by better, I mean worse, obviously.
Yeah.
what an invitation to the importance of being familiar with it, understanding its possibilities and potentials, and involving ethics in that, right? So as we're learning about it and we're teaching our students to make sure that they feel confident and they can understand those uses so that they can navigate it both as people engaging with the tool, but also maybe not even knowing that it's being engaged with them. So I love that. I love that there's that both of you emphasize the importance of those ethical dimensions to our learning about AI. It's like, hey, don't just implement the tool, learn about it in all the ways.
Yeah. Right. And also like engage students in critical thinking, because with deep fakes and all of these nefarious uses, they need to be able to think critically and analyze what they're looking at to be able to decipher, like, is it
what's
real?
Or not real?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's real?
Yeah.
If you go on social media today, you'll see dozens and dozens and dozens of photos that people are trying to pass off as true. And it's so crazy to me reading some of the comments, and people have absolutely no idea that they're generated, that they're generated images. And like I said, it's only going to get more. I don't want to say better. It's going to get better again. But
it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. Yeah.
If you're out there listening, if you're really good at this, I'm looking for somebody to give the deep fake of the thin and in shape younger Tim. our guests, Myra Rolden, Leah Mannoni, Undesto, every link to Myra's book. Leah, we're going to put some links too to her blogs that she's been putting out. Undesto, the company, make sure that you find this, check it out. Myra, Leah, thanks for busting pencils.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is fun. Thank you.
This was a lot of fun.
All right, and Tim and Johnny, nah, we're not going to duke it out. But when we get back, though, watch out.
Bye, guys.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL Draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to WIAgTourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back.
It's Busted Pencils, and it's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. And I think the educated educators just got themselves an education.
Get yourself an education.
Myra Roden, Leah Minoni, the company is Undesto AI. Man, Johnny, just kind of laying it out there for us in a way that I feel like our little argument or, you know, Tim, all AI, Johnny, I feel like now we have might need to progress out of that simple yes, no conversation.
Well, I love it, Tim. I think so. I think we're at a full ceasefire here. But I call it more a convergence by recommendation of our Canadian mediator, Jason Bukeri. And we called in the big guns tonight. Leah and Myra, and that's right up my alley, Tim. I love where we are converging on that reminder of Jason gave us. Hey, boys, let's not make it good or bad. Let's not say, hey, I'm against it or for it. Let's pause and put our professional identities aside. And what I mean by that is come at it with humility and not maybe the hubris that Johnny was bringing, saying, well, I can type just as fast. I can write an article faster than AI can get one published. I mean, I'm already realizing I probably would lose that battle. So some humility is in order. But Tim, I love where we're converging. And I absolutely love where Myra is coming at this with her experience, you know, in software design and all the expertise she brings to what technology offers, not only industry, but, you know, education. And then Leah as an ethicist and so much more. But the lens they're bringing as we are pausing to say, let's learn about AI. I love the conversations we're having because, you know, we talk all the time here on Busted Pencils about talking to our neighbor. Mm. But also, sometimes it's super important to ask the people we know are experts in something about what their expertise is, right? When I want to learn more about the repairs happening on my car, I talk to my mechanic friends. Right. And they tell me, yep, that's actually a transmission problem. Glad you're getting it fixed, you know, and I trust the experts. And that's important. So here I am, a skeptic of the impacts of AI on culture and society, but having two people who are also bringing that skepticism to the topic and saying, hey, this is what we focus on, the ethical dimensions, the ways we can implement this, how it's changing our labor, how it's changing for us educators, our classrooms. So loved learning from and with, you know, Leah and Myra tonight, Tim. And I love that we're converging on something here. Here we are modeling democracy.
Nice. You know,
when we're talking about education here on Busted Pencils.
Well, and it was a great, great discussion. And in fact, you know, want to have them back on because they've got so much to offer, you know, about this. And as you said, you know, whether it's the ethicist from Leah's standpoint,
the long time, you know, as Myra said, the 20 plus years working in the industry, and also too, you know, has worked in academia herself, being an associate professor. And then Johnny also pointing out that the work that they are doing with community college faculty, pointing that out and thinking about that, because yeah, if we're not going to, as educators, dig deep into learning these things, I mean, then we're really not doing our jobs. And so, you know, thinking about this, yeah, when you know, our guest from a few weeks back, Brian Gonzalez from Intel, he was the one who was like, he sent me a note going, hey, Tim, you've got to meet these sisters. You got to have them on Busted Pencils. I was like, okay. You know, and had this, and I did a screening with Leah and Myra, and it just came across as going like, okay, it's neither about Tim and Johnny being wrong or right. It's that Tim and Johnny got a lot more to learn, and let's bring Leah and Myra here to actually help me and you, and maybe possibly Johnny, modeling for other educators out there that, you know what, yeah, our little 1 year kind of feud really actually kind of limited the realities of how much more there is there. And so having them like that, John, I see you want to jump in,
well,
man, right?
Well, yeah, Tim, you know what I love about this is, you know, that it's okay to disagree. And it's really most important to be open to information. And there is a vast sea of information out there that includes misinformation. And so here we are, Tim, you know, both of us saying, hey, we disagree, but let's figure out more about this because there's something important about this AI stuff. And we're landing on a real generative dialogue that I would say is moving us towards the common good for public education. Hey, AI is here. It's part of our lives. It's part of our students' lives, right? And now, Tim.
Hey, well, you know what, though? And as I said, it ain't gonna uninvent itself. Just pointing that out there. And now, for your moment of zen. I have no right to despair. I insist on hope. Hey, check us out. Come back. Homeroom on Monday. Class will be in session Wednesday with the Math Anxiety Diffuser, Aditya Nagrath, and we'll wrap up with free throws and face-offs. Hey, make sure you subscribe to the Busted Pencils podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Also, if you're doing that, drop us a review there. We'd want to hear about it. Yeah, even if you got a little bit more to say. You know, there's so much going on out there, and just thinking about this, did you like us bringing people on like Leah and Myra to help create more of an education? You know, we want to know about that because we've got guests out there and we just want to expand this. Of course, it's a teaching and learning show. And so whenever we can bring guests on for our listeners that can add something to us, Johnny, I'm going to give everybody a little bit of homework, though. Hey, if you're really into AI, what is the difference between narrow, general, and super intelligence? It's Busted Pencils, everybody. Thanks for busting pencils.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Emily Zippos is back as my guest co-host. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recusing himself from an Act 10 lawsuit. What does that mean? Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In Philadelphia, at least 7 people died when a small plane crashed into a northeast neighborhood on Friday. On the medical flight were a child, her mother, and 4 other people. At least one person on the ground was killed. It happened near a mall where Zach Coates works.
This place is unrecognizable. Everything that was here, the community, everything, I can tell everybody's impacted by it, and I just hope that everybody's okay and we can get through this as soon as possible.
In the Potomac near Washington, police boats continue searching for victims of the mid-air collision between an Army Black Hawk helicopter and a jetliner, killing 67 people. 41 bodies recovered so far. Hamas releasing Israeli-American hostage Keith Siegel and 2 other hostages today after nearly 16 months in captivity. President Trump's threatened 25% tariff on goods from Canada and Mexico set to start today. This is ABC News. The Trump